We win this dance competition, we get our own show.
So we putting a crew together or what?
Hell yeah!
If we're gonna be a crew, who's gonna be in charge?
I am.
I see you got yourself a new crew. Y'all come to see some real dancing?
Does this always have to end up in a big, giant dance battle?
Welcome to the Green Screen of Death. My name is Adrian.
And my name is Bill.
We are on episode 12, not 11, 12.
We're almost teenagers.
Oh, hey, all right. Can't wait for my balls to drop.
Nice.
Anyway, we're on episode 12, and we had a really rough weekend at the movies, didn't we?
Oh, man. August is going to be awful.
Yeah, it's truly like the February of summer movies.
It's worse.
Yeah, actually, you're right.
It might be worse. I'm sure of it.
Before we get into movies, we always like to talk about non-movie related stuff. Or, you know, we're going to talk a lot about our Austin trip coming up. So why don't you share the big news that we confirmed last week?
We were one of the lucky people who got a pre-order for Franklin Barbecue. Now, I don't know if people understand this, but Franklin Barbecue is a pretty popular place in Austin, Texas. People stand in line for hours before they open just to get barbecue. Half of them get told, "We're sold out. Sorry." So every first week of the month, they do pre-orders for the next month. And Adrian got the list together.
Yeah.
And we got a pre-order.
Yeah, 7 pounds of meat between four of us.
1 pound of turkey, 2 pounds of sausage, 3 pounds of brisket, 1 pound of pulled pork, and 1 pint each of slaw, beans, and potato salad.
Oh, man. Bring it on, dude. I can't wait.
We're going to destroy that shit, man. Oh,
totally. So we're pretty stoked for that. And on the topic of Austin, we're going to Fantastic Fest. That's why we're going. The first wave of films were announced last week. Kevin Smith's Tusk is the opening night film, which I'm sure angered about 90% of the attendees.
People got to calm down.
Yeah.
Looks pretty good to me. Other than the stupid Canadian jokes in the trailer, which kind of pissed me off.
Yeah.
Is the opening gala like a 2-for-1 deal? They're kind of saying, like, watch Tusk and ABC's of Death 2?
It sounds to me like they're screening both back-to-back.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of... And the thing is, when I went last year, there were some people who got shut out of Machete Kills, which is funny to say.
Good for them.
Yeah.
That movie blew.
But yeah, I certainly hope that I get to sit in on Tusk, ABCs of Death 2, mostly because Kevin Smith is such an entertaining speaker. Like, he's great to listen to. I could listen to him for days.
I'm usually not the star-fucking kind of guy, but if I could get a picture with Kevin Smith, that'd be pretty cool.
I'll take your picture, man.
Thanks.
And the other film I'm looking forward to at Fantastic Fest is Babadook. I don't know if you saw the trailer for that.
I did see the trailer. It looks pretty freaky.
It does. It played at Sundance, and I read a couple of snippets of reviews, and people are pretty much saying it's one of the scariest movies they've seen in their lives.
Dude, when you said you got shut out of like films and almost got shut out of, all these people got shut out of Machete Kills, all I'm thinking is, how many films am I going to get shut out of
at
Fantastic Fest? I'm getting a little freaked out about that.
I'm in the same boat because I don't have a VIP badge this year. So
I'll Poor baby.
Be one of the lowly.
Fuck you.
So anyway, that's Fantastic Fest, and we're excited.
It's going to rule.
One other thing I wanted to mention really quick. Big Brother has been pretty entertaining. Did you watch last night's or two nights ago?
The episode? Double Eviction?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
That was pretty cool. I liked that episode. Who do you think is going to win?
Derek.
Yeah, that's my pick as well. Yeah, he's playing a really good game. So
everybody likes him. Then he tends to be smart about his moves.
Yeah.
Where everybody else is so brash.
Yeah, and emotional.
Yeah, he's very smart, tells everybody to calm down, and he's going to win. But they got to get rid of Frankie.
Oh, yeah, he's got
to
go.
Yeah, he's... If he gets to the end, he'll win.
He will.
Are people stupid to not vote him out yet?
Yeah.
Ugh.
I know.
I would just rule shit on Big Brother.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the first thing I would do day one. I'm like, you have to go? You have to go?
Yeah, that's right. That's all I had for stuff before the main event.
So next weekend, the English Premier League season starts. Manchester United, my team, has the first game. And we live on the Pacific Coast. which means that Manu's game starts at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, that's right. Get up nice and bright and early, eh?
I love watching footy, but man, I hate those 5 a.m. games. I watch every game.
Nice.
And I get up for every game.
Right on.
And it sucks.
Yeah.
But still haven't got any defenders, so I think we're going to leak goals and score a ton of goals, and I hope it kind of averages out.
Yeah.
I'm still hoping I just want to finish in Champions League.
Yeah. That'd be terrible to see, but good luck.
And it wouldn't be a podcast without me saying, fuck Liverpool.
Oh, man. Bill hates the best teams. That's the thing. Yeah. So.
I don't know if anybody's watching the HBO show The Leftovers.
I haven't seen any of that.
It's kind of been a little wacky. Like,
yeah.
It's a show about how 1% of the population just disappears.
Oh.
With no explanation. And it's about the family members of the people. It's been kind of lackluster until the last episode.
Okay.
And it was like, seriously, better than any Game of Thrones episode I've seen this year.
It's
big words, I know. But I was just stunned at how great it was.
Really?
Yeah.
I may have to check it out.
Yeah, easily my favorite episode of TV this year.
Nice.
Oh, and if you're not watching Utopia from England.
Okay.
Amazing television show.
Nice.
It's on season 2 now. Just spectacular.
Oh, is that the one that's kind of standalone sci-fi ones?
It's not really standalone, but it is definitely sci-fi.
Okay.
HBO is remaking it.
Oh.
And I have no idea how they're going to remake it because it is brutal.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I booked some concerts for the Fantastic Fest Vancouver Film Fest trip.
Sweet.
Going to see Airborne. Nice. Who are like a AC/DC kind of clone.
Yeah.
Interpol. Okay. One of my favorite indie bands that nobody's ever heard of.
Yeah.
The New Pornographers. They're playing 2 shows on 2 nights. I might go and see both.
Nice. That'd be pretty dope.
Got tickets to one.
Nice.
And Kasabian, a band I really love from England. I'm spending way too much money and I'm really freaking out.
Oh.
So.
Yeah, me too, man. Yeah.
But I'm not a douche. I'm not going to start a Kickstarter to get me to like Comic-Con or something like that one person did.
We should do that.
Yeah.
Wait, don't we get paid for this podcast? When are we going to start getting paid for that?
Yeah. And one other thing I wanted to say, when we started this podcast, all I really wanted was for my friends to hear this. That's what it was at the beginning. It was just friends. We were getting like maybe 15 hits. And I thought that was really great.
I'm like, cool.
All my friends are listening. This is sweet. And it started getting bigger and bigger every show. And now I think our latest show was like 70 plus.
Yeah, it's great.
In like a week?
Yeah, that's amazing to us. Yeah.
That is just so much more above what I thought this podcast would be. And I really can't explain how happy I am. And I think it's just amazing. And thank you to everybody who is listening. And you constantly surprise me. Because every time we put a show out, it just gets bigger. And I feel super cool about that.
Yeah, yeah, me too. Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. Because I think it's great. You know me, I'm freaking out over here because I'm the administrator on the show, so I get to see all the stats and I can see where people are listening, and it's crazy to me. Like,
yeah,
I felt the same way. I think we both came in and we were both like, you know what? We'll be stoked if we hit 15 hits an episode, because that means our friends are listening, or maybe a few
family
members.
Just the thing. Like, a lot of my friends don't listen to movie podcasts. Like, so they're probably not listening, which is cool. I understand. This is a pretty specialized thing.
Yeah.
70 people, man.
That's cool.
And it's only getting bigger. I'm so happy with that.
Yeah. With this episode, hopefully we'll hit 1,000 listens collectively between our episodes, which we're over the moon about that.
Yeah. That's huge.
Yeah.
I'm so happy.
So thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah. It makes me want to keep on doing this because I'm amazed.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Thank you. Are we ready to get into some rant action? Or do you have anything else?
I don't know. That's probably about it.
Cool. Do you want to go first?
Yeah, why not? As I was saying earlier, man, there is nothing good opening movie-wise for the next, I'll be honest, month and a half. Almost until October. And I just don't care at all about any of these films. The one film I did care about was Eli Roth's The Green Inferno. His first film in 6 years. Director of Hostel, Hostel 2.
Yeah.
A couple other ones. They sucked.
yep, they did.
But I was really... It's like a cannibal Holocaust film. People go into the jungle, meet some cannibals, shit ensues, violence, people get eaten. I'm cool with that. I want to see that.
Yeah.
That sounds rad.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was supposed to come out on September the 5th. It's now off the schedule indefinitely.
That's brutal.
Damn you all.
Yeah.
I was looking forward to that so much. And if anybody's got a screener at SoundJam69.
Yeah. Hit us up. We'd love to see it. Come on. Yeah. That's brutal. You mentioned that while I was on my way here, and I was like, what?
Yeah.
It's not coming out? I was looking forward to it, too, because I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, I feel like I'm the only person, and obviously you, who hasn't seen the film.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Green Inferno has been delayed indefinitely. Damn it.
That's too bad.
Yep.
You ready for mine?
Sure.
All right, my 60-second rant is about the spoilers and Marvel stingers from the press. People who get these to get to see these movies at press junkets and press screenings are so eager to be the fucking nerd who says first.
Oh man, I got something to say about this too.
Yeah, so it becomes a real hassle to avoid spoilers for big movies like Guardians of the Galaxy. People are taking away some great moments from people who haven't even had the chance to see the movie yet. We're talking a week before the movie comes out. And I already know what the post-credit stinger is. Who benefits from spoiling that for the people that follow you?
Well, I'd seen the movie a week before it opened. And I was told explicitly, you're not to tell anybody that you've even seen this film.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to write about it. Damn you if you put it on Twitter or Facebook or anything, because you are not allowed to do that. As soon as I walked out of the movie, went on Twitter, and Drew McWeeny and all the nerd writers had put their reviews up, and I turned to the rep in Vancouver. I said, look, they've already talking about this. Why are we not allowed to talk about it? He's like, don't talk about it. So we recorded our show last time. I had seen Guardians of the Galaxy. I said I saw it, but I was not allowed to talk about it. I actually followed the embargo.
It's brutal. And the critics, those big critics from like, LA, New York, they will have open discussions about the film, two nights before it comes out. Well, this scene didn't work because of this, or this character isn't this kind of character because of this. And you're like,
I hate
dudes,
you.
the movie hasn't even come out yet. Fuck you.
Yeah. Like, I'd seen it and I talked to you about it. But I didn't say a damn thing about the film.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to ruin it for you.
Yeah, exactly. I think the only thing you sent me was a text message saying, holy shit. And that was it.
Yeah.
Anyway, rant over. It happens with every damn movie, and I'm getting sick of it.
Yeah, people got to have a little bit more respect for other people now.
Well, now that we have that out of our systems.
That might have been more than 60 seconds. Sorry for hijacking that, too.
My face is so red right now. I think we're ready for some main reviews.
Hell yeah.
Let's talk about Boyhood.
I'm so glad you finally got to see this because I had already seen it.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually had to go to Vancouver to see it, just like you did.
I know. It still hasn't opened in Victoria. It opens next week.
Next week. And I didn't want to record this podcast without seeing Boyhood. I just couldn't fathom waiting that long. What a beautiful movie. A bit of background for anybody who hasn't seen Boyhood or maybe doesn't know the premise. It's about a boy. How old was he when they started? 8 years old?
Eight.
8 years old. Richard Linklater, the director-writer, followed him for 12 years. The main actor's name is Eller Coltrane. And they recorded the film for 12 years. You know, a couple weeks at a time, just capturing footage as he's growing up.
Did you hear what IFC did?
No.
They're like, okay, we'll fund this film. We'll give you $200,000 a year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for 12 years. And they didn't. They just kept on doing it.
Wow.
Without even seeing the film.
That's unreal.
That is just awesome dedication, and I totally applaud IFC Films for sticking with Richard Linklater, who's, if there's somebody I'm going to put $200,000 a year into, I think I'd more like put $1 million a year into Richard Linklater because he's pretty amazing. But
he is great.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a patient and well-disciplined filmmaker and just brilliant. So yeah, Bill saw the movie, told me it's that I need to see it. So I was like, okay, I'll get out there and see it.
I used some pretty amazing hyperbole.
You did?
Yeah. I said this might be my favorite film of the decade.
Yeah. Yeah, you mentioned that. I can totally see that.
That's just the thing. Like, it's a really kind of easy film. It's really easy to watch. And I'm kind of known, my favorite films always seem to be these like incredible mind fucks that just screw with you, or they're like sci-fi films. I like really intelligent, smart films that make me think and I have to rewatch it 50 times.
Oh, yeah.
This is not Boyhood.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's really simple to watch, and it's 3 hours long.
And it doesn't feel like three hours.
It feels like it's 45 minutes long.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I remember when I'm watching it, it got to a certain point where I thought it was like winding down, and I'm like, no.
Yeah. Yeah. It truly is the film that you don't want to end.
No, no. Oh, is he going to make a sequel?
I saw a thing where from a clip from an interview from Ella Coltrane where he kind of hinted that they might do something, and you never know, you know?
It would become his like before
yeah.
Boyhood trilogy. Yeah. After Boyhood trilogy.
Yeah, it'll be like adulthood next yeah. or something. But yeah, what a beautiful film. It's just a wonderful experience, unlike anything you've seen before.
Yeah, he shot from the summer of 2002 to October 2013.
Yeah.
For a week a year. The movie starts and the two main kids, Patricia Arquette, Ethan Hawke, all look a certain way. The movie is cut together like it's almost real time.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And legitimately, the only way you can figure out that it's like changed is by their haircuts.
Yeah.
Oh, this is going to sound really bad. Or Patricia Arquette's weight. And it's seamless.
It really is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like a giant documentary. I'm thinking, I could never do something like this.
Yeah.
Like, how did he think about doing this? It's just stunning. Like, at the beginning of the film, the two young actors aren't as good as I kind of want them to be.
Right.
And I'm thinking, yeah, they better fix that.
Oh, yeah.
Like a complete dick. And they get really good. Ella Coltrane, I think, is a pretty stunning actor.
Yeah, he's definitely one to look for.
He's got quite the presence. And Patricia Arquette's great. Ethan Hawke's great. Everybody's great. The movie is amazing.
Yeah, it's truly outstanding. And you mentioned how seamless it is as they're getting older. You know, I think a less disciplined filmmaker would be putting text in front of you saying Christmas 2003 or, you know, summer 2005, whatever, right? Adding reminders that it's Linklater doesn't do that.
No, he's not holding your hand.
No, he just tells a story and trusts you to follow along. And it's easy to follow.
I think of the film in comparison to like the Before trilogy. And I think it's like this one is like the best parent-child relationship film, where that one is sort of like the relationship film.
Right, right.
Probably the best of each of those kinds of films I've ever seen. Like, the Before trilogy is amazing.
Yeah.
But I know you asked me when I said I thought I liked Boyhood more than those films. And you're like, oh, man, that's my jam.
Yeah, I know. I freaked out.
Yeah, and I was like, no, seriously, dude. I think Boyhood is better than those films.
Wow.
Yeah.
I still can't weigh in on that. I need to see it at least one more time before weighing in on that.
Just jump in, dude.
First thoughts, I disagree. I just
drop the mic.
My first impression is that I do prefer the Before trilogy, but that's a more, I don't know. I always struggle with, you know, I've talked about this before, ranking things. I love them both. You know, it's like asking me to pick my favorite niece or my favorite nephew. I'm like,
the cool
one. I love them all. The cool one I can take to the more grown-up movies. It's tough. And it's good that it's tough because it's that great.
There isn't a lemon in the bunch. They're all amazing.
Yeah.
Another thing I want to say about Boyhood is that the music is like calibrated to the time period.
Oh, it's perfect.
And it's perfect music.
Yeah.
The movie starts with Coldplay's Yellow.
Oh yeah.
It's
the
first song in the film, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna dig this film. I just and there's some cool cuts in there, like stuff that I hadn't heard in a really long time. Like there's a scene where they're at the party and they're playing a pretty obscure Black Keys song.
Oh yeah.
And it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Right on.
And the beautiful thing is when that music is playing or when they're talking about things that will, you know, quote unquote date this movie, it's not thrown in there to be cheesy, like films that look back at previous periods and they, you know, talk about Almost Famous. You remember they're talking about like the first fax machine and there was a joke about that and you're going, ha ha. That's so funny.
But that film wasn't filmed in the 70s. It's not dated. I hate people say that. That's sloppy.
What I meant about that is that Linklater doesn't use those devices just to get cheap laughs. He's just putting a bit of a stamp on it. One of the things I really appreciated about this film is because you get a lot of the son and mother, father kind of discussions, even as a grown man, it felt like Linklater was still teaching me life lessons or giving me insight on my life. And there's one line I wanted to share, which is a pretty big line, but it's not a big, huge spoiler. One character says, "Life doesn't give you bumpers." I thought that was beautiful. I was just like, that really hit me. I was just like, that really connected.
I don't think it's much of a spoiler. I think that line's in the trailer.
Oh, it is, eh?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a good line.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, there's really not a false note in this movie.
No, definitely go and see it. And it's... I think it's PG or whatever it is in Canada, PG-13-ish.
I think so.
In Canada, and it's R-rated in the U.S.
Oh, really? It's
the dumbest thing ever. Oh. So if every kid should see this film.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I can't wait to take my niece to this.
It's 3 hours long, but as I said, you don't even really notice it.
Yeah. Yeah, it goes flying by. Did you have any closing thoughts on Boyhood?
It's the best film of the decade.
Best film of the decade.
Yeah. I'm not mixing words on that.
I've only
seen it once, yeah. And I have a feeling it's only going to get better on repeated viewing.
It will.
And I'm already saying that.
And the cool thing is you'll pick up on new things, probably each viewing.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a beautiful film, highly rewatchable. Yeah, for me, it just blew me away. And I think I texted you because I went to Vancouver by myself to see it.
Yeah, so did I, though.
Yeah, that's true. But I was just like, man, I'm really glad I saw that by myself because I had a good hard cry in the car on the drive home.
Adrian's really sensitive. He needs a hug.
That's right.
I had a really amazing film day that day. I saw the press screening of Guardians of the Galaxy, and then I saw Boyhood.
Yeah.
And I walked out of that theater, and I was just like, wow, you know?
Yeah.
Film is really amazing.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I brushed my bangs out of my eyes and wiped my tears and came home.
Adrian was that guy at the ferry terminal crying in his car.
That's right. My black fingernails. Anyway, go see Boyhood at your earliest convenience. You ready to move on to the next one?
Sure.
Guardians of the Galaxy, the latest entry from the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Is that what MCU stands for? Yeah, I think so.
or he's a missing member of the Beastie Boys.
Yeah, that's right. MCU. I'll be in the house. Anyway, Guardians of the Galaxy is, if you follow any nerds on the internet, James Gunn directed this film. Sci-fi, space adventure, action, starring a group of misfit characters. If you've seen the trailer, you know the characters. There's Peter Quill, aka Star-Lord, yet Groot and Rocket, Gamora, and Drax the Destroyer. So it's quite a cast. And
yeah, this group of misfits go around trying to make sure that this evil bad guy doesn't get this orb. They really don't really have a clue what it is. The thing that makes this film really work more than most Marvel characters is that you really actually care about these people.
Oh, yeah, big time.
They're really well written, except for the villain.
Oh, the villain's terrible.
The villain is... I really wanted a perfect rating in this movie.
Same here.
And I just couldn't out of good conscience.
No.
Because the villain sucks so bad.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what they say. Your movie is only as good as its villain. And what was his name again? I forgot his name.
Person with goth makeup on. I forget his name too. He's really that forgettable. He is paper thin.
Paper thin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. But the thing, that's what's so great about these characters. You said that your movie's only as good as your villain.
Mm-hmm.
Well, these guys rise above that because
oh, yeah.
I love these characters.
Yeah.
Plot is kind of iffy. The villain's iffy, but holy crap. Other than the villain, it might be my favorite Marvel film.
Yeah. Yeah. I could totally.
Because I care more about the Guardians of the Galaxy than I cared about the Avengers.
Yeah, same here. Yeah, that was the big thing. They do put the Guardians in some dangerous positions in this movie. And when that's happening, I was just so like, no, I hope nothing bad happens here. Yeah. And I was freaking out. I was getting nervous. And my heart went out to every single one of them. And, you know, if they killed a couple of characters from the Avengers, I'd be like, whatever, you know?
Yeah, if Black Widow died in the Avengers, I would have been like, that sucks.
Oh, I won't see that booty anymore.
Yeah, I know, but it wouldn't have really mattered.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the main point.
These people are in trouble and you're pissed because you're like, I don't want these people. I'm thinking sequel. I want to see these people again. Okay. So raise your hand if you thought Dave Bautista would be really good.
Oh, yeah. Everybody was worried about Bautista as Drax.
You know, ex-WWE wrestler, big giant muscle head.
Yeah.
He's hilarious.
He's awesome.
He's got the best lines in the film, other than Rocket.
Yeah.
So we'll go with that again. Who else thought that Bradley Cooper was going to be amazing as Rocket?
Yeah.
Because everybody was bitching about that.
Yeah, they were saying, oh, Mr. David O. Russell in the house. Like,
because both of those guys just absolutely kill it in that film.
Yeah, and Bradley Cooper truly transforms his voice in this one. Like he's hardly recognizable. I've seen people on Twitter posting, wow, that was Bradley Cooper. Like, and he's that good.
And Vin Diesel says three words the entire film,
but
never says them twice the same.
Yeah.
And he's amazing. Like, for a character that only says three words, you are so emotionally invested in the character. When have you ever heard of that?
Yeah, exactly. I didn't know what to expect with him because I didn't know anything about the Guardians going in.
I hadn't read a comic. I knew nothing about
them. At the end of the film, I loved every single one of them to bits and just couldn't wait for more. And I went and saw it again, like, 2 or 3 days after that.
Yeah, I saw the press screening, and then the night it opened, I saw the IMAX version, which the regular print is in scope. And then the IMAX version opens up and uses the full screen.
Okay.
It's a really good effect.
Oh, nice.
Plus, the 3D I thought was really amazing.
Yeah, the space battles were pretty sweet.
I'm not usually a 3D guy.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah. Have you seen it 2D?
I did see it in 2D, and it was still pretty enjoyable in 2D. Nice. So I think one of the things that I also wanted to mention is that I read a couple of things where people posted, like, things you should know about the Guardians going in. I didn't read them before I saw the movie, but afterwards, I can see how maybe some of the hardcore comic nerds were kind of predicting a failure because they are pretty weird. And I love that James Gunn just runs with it. He just goes with it. That's really what sells the film, and they're such great characters. The emotional beats in this film are just so effective. I was very, very moved at a few scenes that I won't say here, because, you know, it's only been out for, what, 2 weeks?
Yeah, we're not dicks.
Yeah, we're not assholes. Yeah, there's some really great emotional moments in this film, and if you wanted to chat with me about it, just send me a DM on Twitter and be glad to share with you what moved me in this film.
But yeah, as I said, other than the villain, I think this is the film of the summer, and it made huge money.
Oh, big. Yeah,
for a movie that didn't have Iron Man in it, like, who expected that?
Yeah, because the I think it opened just below Captain America 2,
biggest,
the second Captain America, the second,
yeah, Captain America the second. Yes, I've named it that. Thank you. I copyrighted that shit.
That's right.
I love this film. I really do. I can't wait to do it on Blu-ray. Mm-hmm. Watch it a lot.
Yeah.
Thankfully, James Gunn, who has kind of been known as like a weird filmmaker.
Yeah, he did Slither, didn't he?
Slither, which is an awesome movie. I love that film.
Yeah.
And he came through Troma.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and made a Sergeant Kabuki Man commercial. And
yeah.
It's just... How cool is it that Marvel is letting some freaks make these movies?
Yeah, I think that's great. Yeah, I think that's going to be the Joss Whedon effect. I'm sure he plays a part in that. I'd like to think so anyway.
I hope so, yeah. I don't really have much more to say.
Yeah, neither do I. Just go see it and have a good time and share your thoughts with us if you like.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to see a better popcorn movie this year. I really don't. I think it's really that good.
It is pretty spectacular. Yeah. I still, when it comes to just a little off topic, but on topic, like when it comes to the summer films, I'm including Captain America because, let's face it, that is a summer film. And when summer movie season starts, has become more and more abstract over the last few years. I really have a soft spot for Captain America and Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, which...
I really liked X-Men.
Yeah, X-Men was pretty sweet, too. Yeah.
So there's been some really good films this summer.
Yeah.
There's been some really shitty films this summer, too.
Oh, yeah. We're getting to those. Yeah, we're getting to those. This is kind of like a countdown.
As amazing as of my Guardians of the Galaxy and Boyhood movie day was,
yeah,
yesterday,
You paid the price.
Maybe it was karma.
Yeah.
Coming back to kick my ass.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that later.
Well, let's start with the good film that you watched yesterday. Let's start with Magic in the Moonlight, Woody Allen's latest film, set in 1928.
How do you remember that?
It was like in the opening shot.
Good on you, man.
Yeah. Colin Firth plays a magician, Weilin Su, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway, he plays a magician, illusionist, who makes a living being a magician, making lots of money. He also debunks people who think they're psychics. And
he's a prick.
He's a total prick. Think of Morgan Freeman from that, what was that movie, Now You See Me. He's kind of like that character.
I really like that movie.
I like that one, too.
I'm not afraid to say that.
Yeah, and Morgan Freeman was a dick in that
Screw
one, too.
Screw you if you don't like it.
That's the Now You See Me prequel. Anyway, he goes to the south of France because his friend tells him Emma Stone, we'll just call her Emma Stone, is a psychic, and she has magical powers, and she can predict the future, and she knows everything about my past without me telling her.
She knows kung fu, and she took the red pill, and
that's right. So off they go, south of France, where Woody Allen thrives in Europe. Did you have anything to say about the technical aspect of this film?
Yeah, it's only Woody Allen's third CinemaScope film.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Which means the wider screen format. Do you know which ones were the other two?
Couldn't tell you.
Manhattan.
Oh, no way.
A pretty big Woody Allen film.
Yeah.
From his prime period. And a pretty crappy one starring Jason Biggs called Anything Goes.
No way.
Yes.
Wow.
With Christina Ricci. It's pretty terrible.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
Yeah, you didn't miss much.
Okay.
That was right. From the Woody Allen dry spell era.
That's right.
Yeah.
So what did you think of Magic in the Moonlight?
I really liked it, but at the same time, I think it's kind of lesser Allen.
It is.
Yeah. It's really watchable. It's really cute. I really like the characters. I even liked Emma Stone.
Yeah, she had a certain charm to her.
Yeah. Marcia Gay Harden's in it.
Yeah.
As Emma Stone's mother.
Jackie Weaver.
Yeah, it's really good. And there's this guy in the film, played by Hamish Linklater, who wants to marry Emma Stone. Oh, yeah. And all he does is these like serenades to her.
Yeah.
And they're the most annoyingly funny things in the film.
Yeah. Yeah. He's the comic relief in the film.
Yeah. He's quite good. I like Hamish Linklater.
And Colin Firth has a lot of like deadpan humor in this one too. Where he's just being a dick and you can't help but laugh.
Usually the main character in a Woody Allen film is Woody Allen. Not in this one.
No, not at all. Yeah.
He's just a prick. And I kind of enjoyed that. He's usually, you know, he plays like a pretty slick character. And this, you don't really see Colin Firth be like a prick very often.
No.
It's kind of nice, actually.
Yeah. I'm pretty much on the same page. I really enjoyed this film. And it's one that I'd say I liked it and didn't love it. I'm not really a Woody Allen scholar by any means. But out of the films I've seen, I'd put it at like middle tier of the Woody Allen films
That's
I've seen.
Fair.
And that doesn't make it a bad thing, you know, like, you can't hit home runs every time, right? Like, and this is very enjoyable.
Hey, can I lay some shit on wax here?
Yeah, man.
I'm not the biggest fan of Midnight in Paris.
Oh, you've mentioned that before.
I'm that guy.
That's right. I love that movie.
And if you want to get really out of left field, not really that big of a fan of Match Point either.
You know, I've never seen that.
Those are the two Woody Allen films in like the last 15 years that everybody talks about.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, Match Point did not work for me at all. And I was like the only person who didn't like that film when it came out.
Right.
I just didn't get the love for Midnight in Paris. I thought it was good at best.
Man, I love that movie. I love the characters and the dialogue. And it's just so funny. And when he's going back in time, it's like an adventure each time. You're like, oh, what's going to happen next? Cotillard is just phenomenal.
You are easily fooled.
No way, dude. Oh, you heard it here, folks. That was Bill the Robot. He came to the surface for a moment.
Yeah, I just, I'm a snob. And every year there's a film that everybody just loves. And there's always a film that I just don't get. Why did you guys like this film? Why did I not like this film?
For me this year, that's Snowpiercer. Up until, what did we agree on, like 90 minutes into the film?
Yeah.
Yeah. It happens.
Yeah, hey, I think it's a good film.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, it's very light. Take your grandma to it. She'll love it.
Oh, she will lose her mind over this one.
It's the kind of movie, Victoria, where we live, is kind of known for older people.
Yeah.
It'll play at the Odeon for 3 months. It will sell out every night with 80-year-old blue hairs.
Yeah.
Who does love this film.
And they were eating it up in our screening. They were just like, oh, man, this reminds me of high school.
But yeah, I went there. I don't think it's much more to say, but it's good.
Yeah, very good. Maybe you don't need to see it on the big screen if you're a big fan.
I say see it on the big screen. It's in CinemaScope.
Oh, that's
shot quite well. Yeah, I'd say see it on the big screen.
Cool.
Why not? Cheap Tuesday.
And it's a good date night movie. I believe it would be good
for anybody who's into that. There's not a lot of good movies out right now.
Expendables next week.
There's not a lot of good movies out right now.
All right. Speaking of bad movies.
We're going there.
We are going there.
My movie day from hell.
Bill's movie day from hell.
So here's the thing. I had to work on Thursday night. We usually go and see some movies on Thursday night.
Yeah, that's right.
Because they always show the movies the night before. They got like a early screening. Adrian caught a couple movies, and he texted me and said, dude, no, do not see these films.
Yeah, I said, I'm done, man.
Yeah.
I'm done. I'm never seeing movies again.
And I'm like, well, you know what? All of our podcast listeners...
We do it for you.
We do it for you guys. Which one are we doing first?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Which really only exists to sell toys.
Pretty much.
And pizzas. And to get you to sign up for Skype.
Some pretty wicked product placement in that film.
Yeah, and buy some Victoria's Secret bras while you're at it. What? There was a Victoria's Secret.
Really? Oh, I didn't get that.
You missed it. That was a... Yeah, anyway.
That might have been when I was like just seething and like foaming from the mouth in anger from watching this film.
Yeah. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is exactly what you think it is. Just like Dennis Green is like, the bears who we thought they were.
So yeah, the turtles and a rat get fed some mutagen.
Yeah.
There's a word. It's like transformium.
Hey. That's right.
And become giant ninja turtles and a ninja rat.
Yeah,
and
because he found a book, so he could learn ninjutsu.
The art of ninjutsu, taught himself how to become a ninja master, then taught his sons, a.k.a. the turtles, to become ninja masters. They're not allowed to go above ground, but one night they do. And April O'Neil, who's an intrepid reporter.
Yeah, she's a go-getter.
Ooh, intrepid.
Big word.
Catches them in the act and takes pictures and hijinks ensue.
Oh, no.
They're not even kids would like.
That's right. It's 'cause terrible.
This movie is made for kids, right?
I think so, but it's so boring that I don't think kids will enjoy this.
No, it's not a kids film. Or kids with taste.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, like, there's one action sequence I kind of enjoyed, and that was the downhill snow sequence you see in the trailer. But that was me being very generous, probably because I was so bored for about, an hour. Then that scene hits, and you're like, oh, action, actual action, cartoon action. And
all I'm thinking is, why didn't I listen to Adrian?
Oh, man. Yeah, you should have. It was just a painful watch.
I didn't even pay for the film, and I was just like, can I get my money back? I use scene points. Yeah. Can I get my scene points back?
Yeah. What really makes this film bad is that the turtles have no personalities. And if anybody enjoys the original turtles, which I think you're wrong, but you should get checked out. You should watch better movies.
You have a disease.
You have a disease. It's called nostalgia.
Yeah.
Those turtles at least had personalities, like defined personalities.
Dude, nostalgia kills me hard when I'm buying Blu-ray.
Oh, is that right?
I'm like, I love this film when I was a kid. It's so good to buy this.
Yeah.
Take it home, pop it in, sit down. What the hell?
Oh, yeah.
Why did I buy this? This is awful. Oh.
I've heard Goonies has that effect.
I haven't watched it. I hated Goonies. Not good. So, I was never a Turtles fan to begin with.
Same here. Like,
so this, maybe I'm just not the target audience.
Yeah. I don't know who the target audience is, but it seems to be doing well this weekend.
Yeah, so. It made a lot of money.
Yeah.
But that means nothing.
Yeah, absolutely truly nothing.
Well, guess what? It's not the worst film of the year.
No, it's not.
I wouldn't even call it like incredibly terrible.
Yeah,
but it's just, please don't give your money to this film.
One thing I do want to give credit for is I think Megan Fox took acting lessons, and I think she improved a little bit in this one. I think she actually tried.
She's really pretty.
Anyway,
I'm not going to say she's a better actress. So I'm just going to say she's really pretty because she's awful.
If you're listening, Megan Fox, I'm still a fan. I'll watch anything with you in it. Anyway.
Yeah, it's just an awful film.
Awful film.
Please avoid.
Speaking of awful films.
And then it got worse.
Then things got worse. Then we watched Into the Storm, the natural disaster film that is an absolute disaster. What a terrible, terrible movie. It's like a hybrid found footage film. They use some found footage stuff, and then they just use traditional shots like they would in a movie.
I fucking hated this film.
Wasn't it so terrible?
I hated it.
Yeah. The characters are more wooden than Paul Walker and Vin Diesel in the Fast and Furious movies.
There's just no gay undertones.
No, there's no gay Top Gun undertones.
No.
Just to illustrate how stupid these characters are, there's a girl who gets stuck, and there's water dripping all over them. The place is collapsing, and she picks up her soaking wet iPhone and goes, "My phone isn't working." You're like, "It's a phone that's wet, you moron."
So these like storm chasers, professional, because they have degrees.
Yeah. At least one of them does.
At least one of them does.
The Walking Dead lady, Lori. Lori from The Walking Dead.
I totally didn't recognize her. Because I've only seen like 2 seasons of The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Like 3 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And didn't recognize her. And I was like, where the hell do I know her from?
Yeah.
But this movie sucks so bad, I don't care. So these storm chasers who are filming a documentary keep on missing the big storm. Every time they go to a new... The place they think they're going to be, it ends up like turning or something.
They're like, oh no.
Yeah, who cares?
That was not me saying oh no. That was an actual clip from the movie.
So the smart one, because they are not smart.
No, they're not.
Decides to go against everybody's thought process and say, it's going to be in this city. We got to go there. And everybody's like, no, it's not going to be there. We all know it's going to be there.
Yeah.
And they finally get there. And not only do you have like one tornado, you have one screen where there's like 5 tornadoes.
Yeah.
And then there's like 5 tornadoes that become one tornado. And you're thinking, this is the stupidest sci-fi movie I've ever seen. This is worse than Sharknado.
Oh, I know. But no sharks.
No sharks.
No Tara Reid.
Like shit, if you ever want to see a movie where a tornado gets lit on fire, this is your film.
Yes, that's right. A tornado catches fire. The entire tornado is engulfed in flames.
Is that even possible?
I don't think so. I think it's just so dumb.
I don't have a science degree, but I don't think that's possible.
Yeah. There was a lot of really silly things to this movie. And just really quick, because there were 2 things I kind of enjoyed about this film. The special effects for a low-budget film like this, I thought were pretty good.
Fuck off.
I'd say serviceable. And the sound mix I thought was pretty loud and aggressive. There were times when I thought, oh, that sounded cool. But that's not...
Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. Shut up.
I ducked under my seat, man. It was crazy. And the thing is, this movie is played with a straight face.
Yeah, it should have been the stupidest campy film of the year.
Yeah.
Like, there should have been, like, multiple people being thrown into like tornadoes with like chainsaws going, come on.
yeah.
Nothing like that.
It flirts with being campy, but then it cuts to a serious scene where characters are saying goodbye and they're recording their final goodbyes and they're crying and you're going, just die already.
I hated this film. Not enough to give it like a 0 out of 5, but avoid this film. Avoid this film. Never see it. I don't care if it's on for free on TV.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're getting paid to watch it. Never see this film. There's a reason why you didn't see a trailer or a television commercial, because they were burying the shit out of this film.
They knew they had crap.
It is terrible.
Yeah.
And legitimately, if the only thing good you can say about this film is that it has a good sound mix,
yeah,
you have failed.
Yeah. That's a reach.
Yeah.
That's truly me reaching.
Yeah. Just an awful film.
Or olive branch, I guess that's the fancy word for it, right? That's me giving them an olive.
Adrian just loves everything.
No, not at all. The Fire Tornado, I thought if they made a movie on Fire Tornadoes, that might have been pretty cool.
Fire Tornadoes versus Sea Sharks, Snakes, or whatever the...
on a plane.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Enough.
Skip Into the Storm. It sucks. Get it? Oh.
Sucks.
Anyway, that does it for our main reviews.
Blows?
It blows. Oh. Oh, man. I'm trying to think of one.
Yeah, I don't.
I'm done.
But then it only got worse.
It got worse. Oh, man.
Remember last podcast?
Yeah, that's right.
Where I was like, I'm never going to watch Step Up All In.
Oh, man.
Never going to watch it.
Yes.
Then I was like, hey, look, the times work out really well for me to step up all in.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And
yeah.
I texted you and you're like, dude, I'm all in.
Let's do this. So we'll move into our lightning round. Starting with Step Up All In, the fifth entry in the Step Up franchise.
The storied franchise.
The fourth director in the franchise.
This is my third viewing of the films. I've missed a couple. I was really scared about continuity, and then I thought of better things.
Yeah, you know, the two characters who are feuding really truly reminded me of, like, if you put Maverick and Iceman in a dance movie. There is a scene where one little guy who stands about 4'11", he goes up to his buddy. They're about to dance against each other, and he goes, "We really gonna do this, man?" And then he pauses so he can put on his black bandana. And I erupted into laughter. There was about six people in the theater, and they probably thought I was a weirdo. Step Up All In is...
They were the hardcore step uppers.
Yeah, yeah. They were like me, I guess. I had hopes for this one.
Okay, so all these films have the same plot.
Pretty much. They, crew split up.
Crew splits up, then he has to...
There's one sole character left who starts a new crew. And then the old crew meets up again. And there's usually one villain in there who is just ridiculous. The villain in this one was kind of funny.
He was probably the best part of the film, actually.
And he disappears for the entire film.
He wears this amazingly shitty, douchey hat.
Yeah. Oh, and that's the other thing I wanted to mention is that if you're in a step-up movie or maybe even a dance-off competition, do not wear a hat because the other crew will take your hat and they'll do... really embarrassing things to it.
They'll do some arm motions with it.
Yeah, and they'll wear it and dance with it, and oh, it's so humiliating.
Okay, so the two Step Up movies I've seen were the first two. And
okay.
And the dancing in those films was on such a different level than this one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know why I'm even saying this, but it's true. The dancing in this film was not good.
I thought it was okay.
I've seen better dancing in a shitty Chris Brown video, but with less women beating.
Oh,
hi, Chris Brown.
Don't pee on me. Wait, that wasn't him, was it?
No, that was R. Kelly.
R. Kelly. Oh.
Amazing Dave Chappelle sketch about that.
That's right. But still, don't pee on me.
Good fuck up there, man. No, Chris Brown, don't pee on me. No, but yeah, the dancing was really bad. You know exactly what's going to happen. They're going to have a fight. They're going to have like a speech and like a Rocky speech, and everybody's going to come back together and thrive at the end. Not even really a spoiler.
We've seen this movie four times
already.
You
know what's going to happen. It's just skip this. No idea why I watched this. Yeah.
I'm a fan of the franchise, and I say skip it. I say skip it. It hurts.
You like lose points for that. You just really do.
No way, man.
You do.
It had its moments, though. I like Moose a lot. Moose is awesome. The moose is loose. They did not release the moose enough in this movie.
The main girl, I don't know her name.
Her character name is Andy.
Amazing midsection.
Oh, yeah.
My God, is she pretty. That is it.
Yeah. Well, the lead actor dude, he's worse probably.
Ugh.
Like, they give him like four Rocky Braveheart speeches, and he fails each one big time.
I fart more emotion than that guy.
That's right. It's true.
It is just an awful film. And I'll say this now. I'm never going to watch another Step Up film until it fits into my schedule and I'm able to watch it.
That's right. Cool. And
I'm super embarrassed. I apologize, people. I have let you down.
That's all right, man. You gave it a chance.
Adrian likes everything.
We're still bros at the end of it, man. We're really going to do this? I just put on a bandana.
One other thing. The team name.
Elementrix.
Elementrix.
Oh. What was with that name?
Elementrix. It's like I'm in the word movie Bad Words.
Yeah.
Because guess what, people? Elementrix does not start with an E. It starts with an L.
It does. It does. it's spelled the way you say it. It's Elmntrix. Elementrix.
I'm so hood.
That's right. Oh, man.
I had to bring that up. That was the worst part of the film.
Yeah. That got some lols out of us.
I just don't want to talk about it anymore.
All right.
Yeah.
What else do you have for lightning round? I've got nothing.
Really?
That was it.
Once again, man, not watching anything. Come on, step that up.
Not watching anything other than the four movies I've watched in the last 2 days theatrically.
Well, luckily, I will step up to the plate.
Well, I think we got the Step Up All In out of our systems. What else did you see, Bill?
I saw the new Anton Corbijn film, A Most Wanted Man, starring the late, great Philip Seymour Hoffman. In a very subdued performance. Usually he's a very screamy, manic kind of guy. This film, he's very quiet and nice. And it's a really tight, gripping spy thriller. Kind of sneaks up on you. It's a good film.
Oh, wicked.
It's not a great film, but it's a really good film. It's not Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy good.
Yeah.
Because that's amazing.
Yeah, I don't think anything will reach that.
but it's really good. See it for Hoffman, but you'll be pleasantly surprised by a pretty good film.
Cool.
I saw the James Brown biopic Get On Up.
Oh, right.
I really hate biopics.
Yeah.
Tell
me about it.
Chadwick Boseman is a freaking revelation in the film, but even his amazing work can't save a pretty sloppy, all over the place, crappy biopic that can't figure out what it wants to be and just doesn't get hard enough at times.
Oh, really?
Yeah. James Brown was not he did a lot of bad things.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
And they're kind of glossed over. And I don't want a whitewashed version. I want the full deal. And
this, give us the real version.
This was not it.
Wow.
not good. I saw a pretty piss poor zombie film called Life After Beth.
Ooh, no way, with Aubrey Plaza, yeah, right?
Dane DeHaan and John C. Reilly. It's shit.
Oh, no way.
I was not a fan. It's just a really piss poor zombie film, and you've seen 50 of them, and you don't need to see another one.
Yeah.
And that is all.
Cool.
That's about it, but I got one more I want to talk about. Funny you should ask. You should talk about Machete Kills at Fantastic Fest last year.
Yeah, that's right.
I think, did Sarah not get into Machete Kills?
No, she didn't.
I think I remember you saying that she saw Coherence.
Yeah, she tried to get into Machete Kills, and then she got into Coherence, which she loved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Coherence is now on VOD and iTunes and every possible format you can possibly grab it with, and it's a really great film
that nobody's
heard of. And I hope that everybody checks it out, because I think it's seriously one of the great films of the year.
Wicked.
That nobody's ever heard of.
Yeah, you don't see any trailers for it. You don't see even the distributor like pimping it out.
No, and they really should, because it's smart. You have no idea what's going on, and you're going to be really amazed when you see it. And I hope everybody does. Spend your $5 on iTunes.
Yeah.
Check it out. It's a special film.
Cool.
But other than that, that's about it.
Well, I usually each episode talk about, for the local Victoria crowd, films that are coming up at our smaller sort of independent theaters. Cinecenta, we talk about this movie every episode.
Let me guess. Chef.
Chef. How'd you guess? Chef plays at Cinecenta from August 21st through 23rd. If you enjoy having fun, go see Chef.
It's a ringing endorsement.
It is. The Vic Theater downtown plays Frank August 15th through 21st. Right now, they are still playing, I believe, Snowpiercer, late showing.
I don't think they're showing our cut of the film, though.
No, they really should show the green screen of death cut where it just ends at 95 minutes.
Pretty much.
And it should have, and it would have been a better movie. And then guess what? Guess what plays 24th through 29th of August?
Is Chef playing again?
Chef plays the Vic Theater.
Oh, fuck off. I was totally joking.
Are you serious? Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah.
You like herpes, Chef is your film.
That's right. If you enjoy food and having fun and a nice warm hug, go see Chef.
I don't believe I called that.
That's funny, man. And August 30th, they're playing Godzilla for one night only, which is pretty cool. Anyway, that's all I have for local theaters.
Right on. So opening in the next couple of weeks, I'm guessing we'll be talking about them on the next show. You're going on vacation.
Yeah, next weekend I'll be in Bellingham in Seattle area.
So I'm guessing we're going to be recording in like 3 more weeks or something.
That's
like
right.
That.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I got 3 weeks of stuff here, and let me tell you, folks, it's going to be a doozy of a month. August 15th, Everybody in Hollywood stars in The Expendables 3, The Giver.
Oh, that's right. The movie about Diener. And,
yeah, the FUBAR.
The FUBAR.
FUBAR got a lot of talk on Twitter when we mentioned it last show.
Yeah.
I'm quite happy about that.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I have no idea what it's about. Supposedly it's from a book.
Young adult.
Is it young adult?
I think so. We'll just go with that. Everything's young adult.
Is that the movie with the dude in it?
It is.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's like a librarian who passes knowledge.
I think so.
Right on.
Sweet.
I'll see it. Why not?
Yeah.
Let's Be Cops.
It could be funny.
I really like Jake Johnson, and I really like Damon Wayans, so
yeah,
it could be really good.
Could be
fun. Trailer's pretty funny.
It is.
Just hoping it's not every joke in the trailer that's funny. Just sort of, I have a feeling it's going to be hit or miss.
Yeah.
And for some reason, it opens on a Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday.
Right on.
Strange.
You already talked about Frank. Looks really good.
Yeah, it looks cool.
Can't wait. Michael Fassbender.
Yeah.
Giant paper mache head.
Yeah, in a band.
And the last movie of the week, Steve Coogan and Rod Brydon in A Trip to Italy. The trailer is really funny.
The trailer rocks.
I love the trailer.
Yeah.
And I kind of love the trip, so yeah. I really can't wait to see this one.
I like the trailer where they do a Michael Caine impression.
Don't want to bury another Batman.
That kills me. And they do that in The Trip as well.
Yeah,
I haven't seen
it's
yet,
really funny in The Trip.
Yeah, and I'm going to check that out.
August 22nd, the sequel that did not need to be made, Sin City, A Dame to Kill For. First one was more than enough for me. It was
Very here.
Stylish, but I did not care at all.
Yeah, I quite enjoyed the first one.
Really?
And I thought when I heard about the sequel, I was just like, oh, a sequel. All right.
Okay, well, here's Eva Green's in it.
Okay, there we go.
That
I'm
is
sold.
Enough. That is
sold.
Enough.
Yeah.
She made that 300 movie kind of good.
Yeah, she made my empire rise in that one.
Yes, yes. That was my Ed McMahon imitation. Did you get that?
No, I missed it. Sorry, man.
Shitty. The Chloe Grace Moretz young adult movie, If I Stay. I guess she dies as a ghost and has to make a decision whether to come back or not.
Yeah, it looks incredibly original and unique. I've never seen a movie like that before. A dozen times.
She's really good.
Yeah, yeah.
So I kind of think it might be okay.
Yeah, that's my hope. I'm a big fan of hers.
I liked Fault in Our Stars.
That's true.
So I might like this one.
This could be my Fault in Our Stars. Yeah, I love her a bit. She was in the Kick-Ass. I didn't watch the sequel. And I
didn't miss much.
I loved her in Hugo. I thought she was amazing in Hugo.
Yeah. We've been waiting for this one.
Oh, what is it?
Remember that football trailer that we made fun of a couple podcasts ago?
What's
with
that?
Jim Caviezel and
JC himself?
Yeah, guess what the film is called, folks?
What's it called?
When the Game Stands Tall.
It's a classic August film.
I'm going to go down in history and say this might be the worst film of the year. The trailer is the worst trailer of the year.
I was just going to say it's the worst trailer of the year by far.
Yeah, a football team who was undefeated loses and they got to rise above it.
Yeah, and Jim Caviezel gets a stroke.
Yeah. Worst trailer of the year. Oh. I will never see this film.
It looks like one of those, what's that really terrible network?
Lifetime?
Lifetime. Yes. Yes. Billy's reading my mind.
Yes. No, I will never see this film. August 29th, the worst title of a movie of the year, As Above, So Below.
What the fuck is that? I haven't even
heard
of it. It's
a horror film.
Okay.
It's about some archaeologists who go in an underground trench and find shit that turns out to be evil.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that premise before.
It looks terrible.
Oh, does it?
There's probably a reason why you've never seen a trailer or a commercial.
Yeah.
I watched the trailer this morning when I was writing this down.
Yeah.
There's a reason why you haven't seen it. It is really bad.
Nice.
Another film that's going to get buried.
Oh, man.
Speaking of films that also need to get buried,
yeah.
The November Man. What's Pierce that? Brosnan in like a Jason Bourne kind of thing where he like takes jobs and hunts people down and they call him the November Man because when he's done, there's nobody left.
Oh.
Makes no sense. I don't even know why they said that in the trailer.
I've seen the poster. He's holding a pistol. Yeah, a very generic action thriller style.
Also on August 29th, a film I have seen called The Congress from Drafthouse Films.
Oh, yeah.
It is damn good.
Cool.
Animated. Robin Wright Penn plays a person who gets her digital likeness digitized. Like, I don't even know how to explain it. Cool. So she never has to work again, but her digital self works and makes movies.
Nice.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Right on.
Really awesome animation.
Yeah.
I really liked it.
Cool.
It's a little weird, though.
Yeah.
A little weird.
I've heard it's out there.
And the last film I've also seen, Start Up. British film about a young man in jail, and he has a really bad attitude. It does a lot of bad things. A lot of people get stabbed.
Oh,
there's some naked fighting.
Naked fighting.
Yes.
Eastern Promises style.
No, not as good as that.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. All right. Starring Jack O'Connell, who's a really good actor.
Okay.
Really up and coming guy.
Right on.
I like the film quite a bit.
Cool.
I recommend it. It's never going to open here.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that is it. That's all I have. It's a couple of the ones I've already seen look good, but my God, I also looked in what's opening in September, and there's nothing.
Yeah, there's really not a lot to look forward to. Yeah, it's a pretty bleak time.
Like, thankfully, we're going to film festivals, because legit, the next film I want to see that opens in theaters is Gone Girl.
Oh, yeah.
It opens October 3rd.
Oh, no way. Yeah, it's a bleak time. It's like January all over again. Or February, take your pick.
Yeah, but at least we had a film festival in January.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we should also mention where people can find us on the internet. If you're listening to us, you've probably found us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Windows Phones, BlackBerry Phones. If you can do us a huge favor, give us a rating, comment if you like. The reason why we mention this each episode is that it helps us find a wider audience. And if you're listening, hopefully you think that you can recommend us to your friends and family.
Friends.
Friends. Anyway, we also started a Facebook group.
I totally didn't know that.
Yeah.
I don't even have a Facebook account. So.
That's right. Anyway, you can find us on Facebook. Do a search for The Green Screen of Death. Throw us a like, and we post pictures and a few comments on there. We're also on Twitter. Our Twitter account is @TheGreen_Screen. Where can they find you on the internet, Bill?
I am @SoundJam69. And yeah, I'm not very technical when it comes to this stuff, so I don't post pictures.
All right. And you can find me @Adrian_Charlie on Twitter. That's the easiest way to get a hold of us. So if you have any comments, questions, feedback, we certainly appreciate that, and we would love to hear from you.
I kind of want somebody to like message us that's just like, you know what, man? Into the Storm is the best film of the year.
You know?
And I also really love Step Up All In.
Oh, man.
So let's debate this.
Yeah, let's have a debate on Twitter.
And I'll be like, fuck you, you're blocked.
Fuck you, blocked. Bill, that's you, man.
Once again, I got to keep the explicit tag.
That's right.
I have a little bit of an anger problem sometimes.
I will gladly engage you in a discussion about Into the Storm and why you think it's the best movie ever.
Yeah, that's Adrian, not Bill.
Yes, that's right. Well, thanks very much again for listening. We do appreciate the people that are listening. We look forward to hearing from you. So until next time, thanks everybody for listening. We do appreciate it. We look forward to hearing from you. And until next time, have a good day.
Peace.